Ayaradha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayaradha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Bandhava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Bandhava Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Padparamahamsa Parinjagacharya Astatara Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhaktavrinda Ki Nitai Gopimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from text 15, Canto 5, Chapter 1. Isabrishrishtam Yavarundramanigna Isabrishrishtam Rundramanigna. That's not the right meter. Dravida, help me. That's okay? Okay. Okay. Isabrishrishtam Yavarundramanigna. Dukham sukham vaguna karma sangat Asthaya tat tad yad ayunta natash Chakshusmatandha eva niyamanah Isabrishrishtam yavarundramanigna Dukha sukham vaguna karma sangat Asthaya tat tad yad ayunta natas Chakshushmatandha eva niyamanah Dukham sukham vaguna karma sangat Asthaya tat tad yad ayunta natas Sabrishtam yavarundhamayigna Yukam sukam bhaguna karma sangat Staya tatad ayung janatas Dakshus matanda imaniyamana Isha Abhrishtam, created or given by the Lord. He certainly, avarundhame, we have to accept. Anga, my dear Priyavrata, dukkham, distress, sukkham, happiness, Va, or guna karma, with quality and work. Sangat, by association. Asthaya, being situated in. Tat, tat, that condition. Yat, by which. Ayunkta, he gave. Nataha, the Supreme Lord. Chakshushmata, by a person having eyes. Andaha, blind men. Iva, like. Niyamanaha, being conducted. Translation, my dear Priyavrata, according to our association with different modes of material nature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives us our specific bodies and the happiness and distress we achieve. We must therefore remain situated as one must therefore remain situated as he is. And be conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes with which to see. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Two pages or so. Hang on. By material means, one cannot avoid the happiness and distress unique to his particular body. There are 8,400,000 different bodily forms, each destined to enjoy and suffer a certain amount of happiness and distress. This we cannot change, for the happiness and distress are ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in accordance with whose decision we have received our bodies. Since we cannot avoid the plan of the Supreme Lord, we must agree to be directed by him, just as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes. Under any circumstances, if we remain in the condition allotted to us by the Supreme Lord and follow his instructions, we will become perfect. Important sentence. The main purpose of life is to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is such instructions that constitute one's religion or occupational duty. Paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Lord Krishna says, Sarvatarmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Give up all other engagements, simply surrender to me and follow me. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. This process of surrendering by following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not meant for any particular caste or creed. A brahmana can surrender. So can a kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra. Everyone can adopt this process. As stated in this verse, Chukshushmatanda iva niyamanaha. One who follows the Lord, one should follow the Lord, the way a blind man follows a person who has eyes. If we follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following the directions he gives in the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita, our lives will become successful. The Lord therefore says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. Translation. Always think of me, become my devotee, and offer respect and obeisances unto me. Then you will surely come back home, back to Godhead. I promise you this, because you're my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. This instruction is meant for everyone, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. If anyone from any division of life surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and follows his instructions, his life will be successful. Paragraph. The previous verse has given the analogy of bulls moving under the direction of the driver of a bullock cart. The bulls, being completely surrendered to the driver, remained wherever he wants to place them and eat whatever he wants them to eat. Similarly, being completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not aspire for happiness or regret distress. We must be satisfied with the position allotted to us by the Lord. We should follow the path of devotional service and not be dissatisfied with the happiness and distress he has given. People in the material modes of passion and ignorance generally cannot understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its 8,400,000 forms of life, but the human form of the human form affords one the special privilege to understand this plan, engage in devotional service, and elevate oneself to the highest position of perfection by following the Lord's instructions. The entire world is working under the influence of the modes of material nature, especially ignorance and passion. But if people engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, their lives can be successful, and they can be elevated to the highest perfection. In the Brihan Naradiya Purana, therefore, it is said, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Translation. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual perfection than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Everyone should be given the chance to hear the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for thus one will gradually come to understand his real position in life and be elevated to the transcendental position above the mode of goodness. Thus all impediments to his progress will be cut to pieces. In conclusion, therefore, we must be satisfied in whatever position we have been put into by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should try to engage ourselves in his devotional service. Then our lives will be successful. When I read the verse in purport, it sounded like the Say Yes to Krishna verse. We had a theme during one of our Gita Nagari retreats, Say Yes to Krishna. Maybe some of you remember that one. Everybody got a Say Yes to Krishna button. And that means say no to Maya. You can't say yes to Krishna and yes to Maya. You have to choose Maya or Krishna. And they are diametrically opposite. The scene here, the painting itself is beautiful, but the scene is Priyavrata, the elder brother of Uttanapada, requested his father, Swayambhuva Manu, if he could defer the position of emperor or king to his younger brother so he can go to the forest and strive for spiritual perfection. And Swayambhuva Manu, being magnanimous, agreed to that. So off he went. And some thousands and thousands of years, because this is Satya Yuga, he had a long duration of life, he was happily absorbed in devotion to Krishna and detached from any worldly thing. But after some passage of time, Swayambhuva Manu had a problem. The lineage of kings from Uttanapada became interrupted, and he needed a qualified king or emperor. So naturally he went to his eldest or elder son, Priyavrata, and wanted to have him take that responsibility. And Priyavrata didn't want to say yes. So the spiritual master, Narada, came, and he was thinking, great, Narada's a renunciate. He'll take my side. And Narada didn't take his side. He didn't instruct him one way or the other about taking or not taking. So the grandfather, Pitamaha, there's like three Mahajans ganging up on poor Priyavrata, again to take a service he didn't want to take. And so Brahma is speaking here. The description is he was very appreciative of the determination of, like Narada was appreciative of the determination of Dhruva, he was appreciative of the determination It was just like the opposite. Dhruva was determined, I want a kingdom. And Priyavrata's determination was, I don't want a kingdom. Heads or tails. It's a, you know, attachment to a particular situation of happiness in our estimation is another. It's one kind or another kind of material attachment if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in this case, Swayambhuva Manu, a Mahajan, and Lord Brahma, a Mahajan, and the creator of the universe. Narada's position isn't identified so clearly in which way he's tilting, but certainly wanting protection of all the citizens is something any stately person would wish, and certainly because Brahma wishes for it to happen, we can take it that Narada also wished for him to take this responsibility. That there's this whole discussion. All these verses are, they're very practical in their application. That there's the principle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Brahma begins his presentation, my dear Priyavrata, my dear grandson. One, there's no way of avoiding the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't even try. It's not possible. He hasn't gotten around to what he wants him to do yet. He's establishing a principle. And how are those things determined? Well, we heard in this purport, it's determined by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are one's duties? What body one will receive? What happiness and distress in that embodied condition one will receive? It's all under a higher authority. Not exactly predestiny, because it can happen this way or that way, but it's a certain amount of distress, a certain amount of happiness is going to come. A certain amount of conducting one's life according to one's nature is going to, it's going to come, whether you're here or there or this situation, that situation. One devotee couple were, over the past year, they've been entertaining the idea of shifting from one location to another location. And the process of evaluating that was very interesting. One has to, beside that particular application, one of the realizations was, whatever troubles are being carried in our mind when we go from this situation to that situation, guess what? Your mind goes with you, and the troubles of your mind go with you. So it's not a solution. Just go from this place to that place, this circumstance to that circumstance, even from this body to that body, because it's guna and karma that determine the body. And you get another body, and it's the guna and karma is going to prevail under the supervision of the Personality of Godhead. So life, it's very practical. It's philosophical, but it's very practical. Life carries with it things that we like. Life carries with it things we don't like. And that's life. And the disposition of fruitive activity is, I go after the things I like, and I try to minimize or eliminate the things I don't like. And that's my project. That's life's project. Increasing the things that I like and diminishing the things I don't like. And the model that's being presented as an alternative to Priyavrata and to us is the other model is there are, according to guna and karma, the Vedic model is there are duties that are natural for one with a certain guna and a certain karma, and one should act accordingly under the direction of a qualified director, a spiritual master, and the personality of Godhead and the injunctions within the scripture. And being submissive to that model, that the means being submissive to the personality of Godhead, and by so doing, this is the Varnashram Dharma model that one can achieve perfection. Now we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that from Ramananda Roy as the goal of life, and what did he say? It's external. Why is it external? Mukunda, why is it external? I'm listening.
So the externals are almost inconsequential. The most important is what our motivation is.
Well, you almost had it. The external is not almost inconsequential. The external is external. If the external is almost inconsequential, then it's party time. You know, we can do whatever because it's almost inconsequential. What's really important is that I party for Krishna. And just ask me, Krishna's happy. And I know Krishna's happy because I'm happy. That tells me Krishna's happy. So it's not almost inconsequential. It's external, though. The essence is the next offering that's being presented here, even sarvadharmam parityaja, is not the final word. The engagement, according to this discussion with Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the hearing and staying in one's position, certainly executing one's duties in one's position, and submitting oneself to the process of purification through hearing and chanting. So, the submission to the personality of Godhead. And that's the indication, that's the punchline of where all this nice philosophy is taking Priyavrata. There's a duty. It was fine when your younger brother could do that duty. You didn't need to do the duty. And then his descendants and everything was fine. But now there isn't someone, and Swayambhuva Manu is asking you to do this, so there's some indication you should follow, even you don't want to. There's in Nectar of Devotion, there's a little but very nice, very important description of the position of the mood of service, dasya. The example it's given is Pradyumna, the son of Krishna. And it's described, if Pradyumna didn't want to do something, but Krishna indicated something was wanted, he would do what Krishna wanted and leave aside the thing he didn't want. And then conversely, if he wanted something and Krishna didn't want that something, he let go of that something Krishna didn't want because of that principle of surrender. Just before coming here, we're reading from the third canto the 15th chapter where the Kumaras are entering into or attempting to enter into Vaikuntha. In that section, Prabhupada gives a very nice definition, very short, very nice definition of sacrifice. Yajna means sacrifice. So he gives the definition, sacrifice means to subordinate one's own interests for the interests of another. So interests like sva-artha, one's own artha, one's interest. Here, Priyavrata has, he has his interest, like Arjuna had his interest, and we have our interest. We have something that we think, you know, this is my interest. This is good for me. And that's natural. And the Vedic position, like the bull, prior verse example, the bull submits himself to the driver. And if the driver says, go here, you go, he goes here. Go there, you go there. Stop, go, eat this, etc. He's at the beck and call of the driver. In fact, there are ways to have the bull be directed just by sound. Prasanna Maharaj was describing this to me. There was a, when he was healthier and younger, for plowing the fields, instead of oxen, they had horses, I think. And he trained the horses, standing behind them with a rope, and he would pull on the left side and say whatever you say, you know, ghee and ha, and then it was another signal for turn around, you know, to go down the next row. So after doing it so many times and so many times, it got to the point where he could stand at the fence and say ghee and ha, and they'd follow just by sound command. Interesting. So the sound vibration of the Vedas, it binds the dharmic person to the commands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A common metaphor that's used throughout the Bhagavatam is the ring in the nose of the bull. And the ring in the nose of the bull is the ring compared to society is the codes of dharma. And voluntarily, a dharmic person submits themselves to the ring in the nose, you know, the codes of dharma. Voluntarily, go ahead, fit that big, ugly thing in my nose, and then you say, gi and ha, and I'm going left and right, just based on the sound command, on the indications of the Supreme. And Prabhupada says it right in the purport, that dharma is the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Dharma, or religion, means laws of God. And a religious person is one who follows the laws of God. Real simple. Real simple. So the essence is not just the following. The essence is the submission. That's the internal part. The internal part, the submission. Along with the submission comes the external part. But the external part is the external part. The internal part is the submission unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so the external may include things that say, oh, this isn't nice. Or the other way, oh, this is really nice. And that, you can recognize, you know, gee, it's really cold. Think poor Dravida, he's used to Southern California, and he's come here to Chicago for a snowstorm and sub-zero weather, and poor Dravida. But, you know, because it's service to Krishna, he's happy. He's got a nice sweatshirt and two sweatshirts. The lady in the plane in front of me, she also had two sweatshirts, and it was on the plane, but she wasn't from Southern California either. And the stewardess was saying, oh, you have such a nice sweatshirt. And she went, no, I've got two of them. Oh, they're both really nice sweatshirts. Okay, so the interest of the Supreme Lord becomes the interest of the surrendered soul. And it's certainly helpful, more than helpful, it's Krishna conscious, to have some understanding of what the Lord wants. So in this case, it's three voices, three Mahajans. The three Mahajans are saying, take up this service. And he's saying, I don't want to take up this service. And he has some good reasons. He's very happy. He doesn't want all that complexity. He doesn't want all the stuff that goes along with being a king and et cetera, et cetera. So I got to have a queen, I got to have a palace, I got to have all this wealth, you know, I got to do all this stuff. It's like, you know, would you remember in school we had teacher-student day. Did you have that in your schools, teacher-student day? So, you know, we got, you know, prepare a class and get in front of the class and, you know, discipline, because when you're the student teacher, you know, there's undisciplined, there's indiscipline in the classroom. And you can't teach when there's indiscipline. Where's Shamasaki? So is that one of the things that they taught you? If you're going to be a teacher, you got to learn how to keep discipline in the classroom. They didn't teach you that one. But when you did your apprenticeship or whatever you call it, internship, oh, you were just hanging out. Okay. Well, Premarnava became a teacher. He got a teacher's certificate in the state of New Jersey. And when he the first job he had, the principal said, in the first week, it's your make it or break it, because the kids are going to test you. And you got to maintain discipline or you can't teach. He was trying to maintain discipline, but they ran all over him. And he said, we're not going to hire you again because you can't be a disciplinarian. So he had to get another job. What were those examples to illustrate? There's... Krishna. Anybody help me? Where was I going with that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. He was accepting. He didn't want to perform that task because he saw the good reasons why not to perform that task. But he was able to be disciplined by those who were his superiors because they then understood. They were giving him the reasons why you really don't have a choice. You want to be, you know, a theistic person, the Supreme Lord has a plan. Now, just one last thing here. We know from the first canto, chapter 9, Bhishma Dev, where Bhishma Dev is explaining to Yudhisthira, no one can understand the plan of the Lord. Great rishis, demigods, most learned persons, they try to understand the plan of the Lord. And guess what? They can't understand the plan of the Lord. So Yudhisthira, don't try to understand the plan of the Lord. Why things happen a certain way instead of some other way, we cannot discern the fullness of the plan of the Lord. So you just accept the plan of the Lord. And there are, he indicates, there are three things that you should consider besides the plan of the Lord. All your activities are conducted according to the codes of religion, theistic conduct, and that you do them under the guidance of qualified brahmanas, and that you do those duties for the happiness or pleasure or in service to the Supreme Lord. That's where your attention should go, not into outcomes. So we may want to go down this path. And if there's some very clear indication, don't go down this path. We should be prepared to not go down this path. Not just, or take another, you know, there's a circumstance that's confronting our life. And we don't like it. But if there are certain things that, it's, you know, too bad you don't like it. Because they're, like say, a health problem. You can do whatever you can do to take care of a health problem, but if it's there, what are you going to do? You know, there are so many different conflicting circumstances that come. Overcoming of obstacles and the path of devotional service doesn't mean get out your bazooka and blast them and get them out of the way. Overcoming obstacles can mean just transcending them, becoming more Krishna conscious than the obstacle that's being presented by taking shelter of Krishna. And by purity and by Krishna consciousness, those circumstances can then just change. Just poof. Poof. There's so many examples of that. I'm sure that everybody in the room has had some experience or other to some degree or another. Just poof. Or slowly, slowly, slowly. But in other words, it's not in our control. So what's in our control? Our free will choice is in our control. That's one thing that's in our control. And use that free will choice wisely. And here's this, you know, in submission to qualified persons, as Bhishma Dev was saying. So can we know the plan of the Lord? Here, different than what Bhishma Dev is saying, at least sounds like different. Twice Prabhupada says in the purport, people in the material modes of passion and ignorance generally cannot understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its 8,400,000 forms of life. But the human form affords one the special privilege of to understand this plan, engage in devotional service, and elevate one to the highest position of perfection by following the Lord's instructions. It's not exactly the use of the term know the plan of the Lord. It's not why a particular outcome is the way that it is. Or why someone who is very virtuous and kind and nice has some calamity happen. One may not understand those kinds of detailed things, but that kind of a plan of the Lord. But the plan of the Lord, at least as I'm reading it here, is follow his instruction. There's guna and karma, there's quality in work, and there's a fixed amount of the plan that's being described here. There's a Supreme Lord, he's the controller. Follow him. That's the plan of the Lord for us. The details we may not understand. Follow the program. The submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as opposed to the artificially independent, sense of independence program that most people are engaged in, just ignoring the personality of Godhead. That's not the plan of the Lord. That's misery. That's illusion. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion. Jai Jagannath. When giving class in Chicago, I've learned you have to give lots of time for questions. Speak less and questions and answers more. Go ahead.
There was a statement, I think, at the end of the purport where Srila Prabhupada is saying the conclusion is one should learn to be satisfied in whatever situation.
Yeah, well, I'll read it. Thus, no, in conclusion, he says like a double. In conclusion, therefore, in conclusion, comma, therefore, we must be satisfied in whatever position we have been put into by the Supreme Personality Godhead, and we should try to engage ourselves in his devotional service. Then our lives will be successful.
I was wanting to understand this statement in terms of the need to make a decision, which could appear externally as not being satisfied in a particular situation and going somewhere else, but which may actually be necessary. In Priyavrata's case, he can say, I'm satisfied in the situation.
I'm satisfied.
And therefore, where is the necessity to change it? But he's understanding that he's being directed by the Supreme Lord through the Mahajans. So it's in our case, we may not always have three Mahajans directly indicating to us that we need to change our position. So we may feel satisfied in the situation we're in, but there may be necessity for change. And so I was trying to understand, how does one understand this statement of Srila Prabhupada's in light of that type of circumstance?
My mind was drifting. I didn't. I was remembering the reason why I was giving this example of teacher-student thing. Because I was going to say, you know, supposing we were to ask, be temple president of some place for a while. We're doing fine here. Be temple president in a troubled place somewhere. I can tell you a few troubled places. And, you know, we're looking for volunteers. It's for those of us that have taken on some responsibility like this, we know that it's a thankless task. I mean, every now and then people say thank you, but there's lots of pie in the face. It's, you know, just immediately you're it's a punching bag or just a target for all kinds of unpleasant things. Although you're sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing, and the ability, doing the best you can, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So that's kind of the situation. The reason, the thought was, that's kind of the situation for Priyavrata. I don't want to be a temple president. I don't want to be an emperor of the universe. Thank you. All that goes with it. I'm peaceful and happy. And he'd been doing it for years and years and years. He was detached even before he went to the forest. And by the time, this is years and years, he is completely detached. Now take up a situation where it requires attachment. I don't want to. And the benediction that comes at the end is, Brahma says, don't worry. You will be free from entanglement, although you'll become attached. You'll be released at the end. So then he agrees, based on that promise. And that's what happens. He gets entangled, he gets attached, and he gets released. But so taking on... Sometimes taking on some tasks, I'm not answering your question yet, but just sometimes taking on some tasks means, you know, it's grief. And, you know, why would I say yes to grief? I want to be happy. So, you know, different things. Oh, I got to chant my rounds. Or, I've got some project, all right, something. So now a little bit, you know, decision making, your question. It's hard to give an answer to your question because it so much depends on variables and particulars. So to give an answer, it's tough. at least minimally, the position that one should take should be, what does Krishna want? Whether it's service, a service opportunity, or a service situation. Now, the frame of your question that makes it a little easier was something along the line of, you know, this is an unsuitable situation. Something like that. So if the frame is, this is an unsuitable situation. Huh? Okay. Well, then that makes a big difference. You know, then in that, my interest should be, what does Krishna want? And supposing, you know, so then I go to those that are, besides, you know, my own brilliance and savvy, I go to those who are very wise and detached. And really, you know, they have the best interest of the individual at heart. And then, so then you get a balanced picture. You know, some assistance from Krishna, resource from Krishna. What is a good position? What does Krishna want? That's, you know, a role of a brahmana, where they're not invested in a particular get something done. They're just situated in knowledge, and they're wise, and they're detached. So, like, Dravida is a very wonderful example. He does his editing, but, you know, but he's certainly a member of ISKCON, but he's not, like, you know, he's got his hand on the steering wheel on any ISKCON project. So, Brahminical persons that are detached, they're really good resource. They're very valuable resource for society to get some indication on, you know, the particular example you're asking is, you know, am I in the right situation? But I'll broaden it and say, you know, what should we as a group of persons, you know, my immediate circle of friends, or the temple, or our society, and make the circle, you know, bigger. What directions do we go in a particular matter? And I've got my idea, because the light's on. But, you know, I want to make sure I've got the right idea. I'll give two examples. One example is, I was in Seattle for the Thanksgiving holiday, and somebody from the East Coast that I know knows somebody that works with them, the same company, and they're in Seattle, or they're based there for some project or something like that. So he wanted his friend to come and, you know, to the temple. So his friend came, and we met. And his friend said, this is an elderly man, or, you know, it's not elderly, he's in his 40s, 50s, said, I've been reading one verse in Bhagavad Gita for 6 months, every day, and I don't understand it. Could you, during the course of the time you're here, speak on it? So I spoke on it. It was karma nibi adhikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. A fundamental verse. So I got into it. And somewhere down the line, without the details, there was this philosophical discussion. So it's not, should I be in this service or that service? Should I be in this situation? But orienting myself towards the goal or the proper siddhanta, and we're supposed to represent the proper siddhanta if we're responsible. So another individual who I was discussing this with said, when it comes to endeavor, there's five factors of action, you know, and one of them is endeavor. So their understanding is, in discussion with their group of, you know, scholarly friends, is the only role that a living entity has in activity is desire. You know, the example of the Brahmana meditating and he burnt his thumb. Or Rupa Goswami wanted to do something on the birthday of his brother, Sanatana Goswami, and Radharani came and brought, you know, the sweet rice. He didn't do anything. He just desired. And no, extrapolating. And similarly, that's all a living entity can do. That's all the interaction. The only involvement they have in activity is desire. Period. And then another individual said, well, there's that desire, and then another series of desires following that desire, and that's all that we do is desire. That was a sannyasi saying that's his understanding. And I was going, you know, well, wait a minute. You know, I'll sit in my room and just desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, or a desire to come to the program and, you know, at someone's home and conduct a discussion on the role of the living entity in activity. And that's all I do is just desire. That's all I do. And if Krishna, you know, gives a bunch of other desires, then that's nice. Then I'll, you know, but all I do is desire. So it's not for the purpose of winning an argument that I'm right and you're wrong, or maybe it's somewhere in between, but it's a service, a position. The connection with your question is, the position of service is, how do I connect with Krishna properly, how to represent Krishna properly in this circumstance, whether it's a philosophical question or an application of the philosophy question, how do I best serve Krishna? So I you know, with eagerness, I should seek that the answer to that question. Not just, I'm uncomfortable here, I want, and I'll give you all the reasons why, like Arjuna did. Here's all the reasons why I don't want to be on the battlefield. And that's it. End of discussion. I'm off the battlefield. I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to find a nice cave somewhere and live that way. Because here's all my reasons. But he took another step, submission. So we need such persons in our lives where we can take questions and present them. Here's a decision that I have to make. And sometimes, anyway, there's different things that one can do. Sometimes you just wait. Sometimes we can't wait. Indecision is another decision. So we seek guidance. And that's one of the points that Bhishma Dev speaks to Yudhisthira. Whatever the dharma is that you understand you're following, you do so under guidance. And let me make sure that the purpose that is being served is Krishna's pleasure as I'm doing this under guidance thing. That's the internal part. Where do you go? Okay. Are we okay with that one?
It seems without sufficient faith in those who would help us crystallize what Krishna wants us to do, then we're in a very complicated situation.
Yes. Prabhupada's... I've been delightedly listening to room conversations and morning walk conversations with Prabhupada, because I've heard his lectures all like four times, so I found this other treasure. And in a few of them, Prabhupada is taking this very point and saying there must be some authority. Like, you know, that's an axiom. There must be some authority. And if I don't have faith in some authority, then I accept another authority, my mind. My mind becomes my authority, but I must accept some authority. So then I can analyze it. Is my mind the best authority? And thoughtfully, you know, my mind has gotten me into a lot of, look at my situation. That's not the best authority. Then Prabhupada was giving the example, saying to Professor Katovsky, same point, you know, you accept an authority. We must accept an authority. You accept Len and I accept Krishna. So there's no difference in the position of accepting authority. Now let's compare Lenin and Krishna. And which is the authority to follow? Which is going to take us to the desired goal? But we must accept some authority. So if, now back to your statement, if one doesn't have sufficient faith, then it's a very precarious situation. Because then my mind becomes the authority. Very precarious, to say the least. Mano rete nasati davato bahi. Yes, Kruna Nidhi.
When I was under certain situation, why I lose interest in path of devotional service?
Why you what?
Lose interest for eagerness.
Why is there interest in enjoying? Wow, I really didn't get it at all. Why I lose interest in following the path of devotional service? That's your question?
Means why you lose your eagerness. You say eagerness.
I need a translator. And
eagerness. At,
Mukunda, you got it? You know why. Modes of nature and our attachment to being an independent enjoyer. So, you know, for a while I'm eager for serving Krishna, and then, you know, some time passes and, you know, my the wandering mind goes over to my senses and my pleasures and my desires and my stuff. My submission slackens and Maya takes over. And there's no delay. Remember one lecture in the Brooklyn Temple, maybe Dravida, you were there. Prabhupada was speaking about sankalpa vikalpa and saying that it's not that, you know, it's not that when you, okay, I've been serving Krishna for some time, and I'm thinking, take a little break from, there's no such thing. Take a break from devotional service. There's no such thing. You're in devotional service. But Prabhupada was saying, it's not that you then have to call Maya. Immediately Maya's there. As soon as that submission to Krishna, seeking the pleasure of Krishna slackens, to even some degree, immediately Maya is there, giving you lots to do and taking you away from Krishna. Immediately. It's like, you know, light and darkness, or the object and the shadow. We're habituated for countless lifetimes to enjoying independently of Krishna. So devotional services, seeing Krishna's happiness. When that submission slackens, we're over in the other program. Maya's program. Immediately. No delay. It's not that, so Prabhupada's statement is not that I have to, okay, Maya, can you please come? She's already there. Immediately. Jitendra, you got something?
I was thinking of this picture that Gokulananda has down in his office. It's like there's Prabhupada sitting and then Krishna's behind him kind of comforting him. And I was thinking that was pretty relevant to what you're getting across, that, you know, we're all troubled and stuff. And then I was thinking of questioning There's a movie called Ganga Din, and he says, ours is not to wonder why, but to do or die. And I thought that was, Mister, you're a better man than I. But
Ganga Din.
Okay. Came to mind.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. We're good? Any other? Oh.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Regarding the situation of Maharaj Priyavrata, I want to ask you about the he trust in Narada Muni, and also he knows Swayambhuva Manu, his father, and Lord Brahma. So it seems that he has full faith that they know what is better for him.
Yes.
So in our life in the society of ISKCON, we are also sometimes asked to do different service or don't do what we like to do. And so how we build trust that our superiors, they are giving us the instructions, or they are placing us in a situation that will be beneficial, and so in such a way that in the future we won't be resentful. Like sometimes happens in society that devotees, they surrender or they agree to do certain services, and because things may not, like Priyavrata Maharaj, later he became more entangled.
So yes, he did.
He did. So he could say, because they asked me to do this, but he didn't act like that. He just... So yeah. That's my...
Well, nice question. Very thoughtful question. And as you were asking your question, I was thinking, and two sides. Even in the situation where, because your specific question is how we can develop sufficient faith. Supposing in the very example, or in our ISKCON life, we have faith, and then we, you know, someone is advising us, like, you know, you're coming and spending some time here in Chicago with us instead of being in Argentina. You know, that was an act of faith. Now you're here, and supposing whatever, you know, something comes, and it's you know, hey, wait a minute, maybe that wasn't the right advice. Or, you know, join the Hare Krishna movement and start chanting Hare Krishna, and I do, and then, you know, these calamities start happening. You know, maybe I didn't get the right advice. Remember one of our discussions, someone advised me to develop loving relationships with devotees, and now look at it, I have all these problems. It's not that the instruction is wrong, because in the material world, there's complications. It's the nature of the place. So your question specifically is not how everything is going to go smoothly, but how we can have the faith that the advice is the right kind of advice. Is it really in Krishna's interest? Not just my interest, but my interest is Krishna's interest. Is it really in Krishna's interest? How do I develop that faith? So don't depend, there's a do not judge the outcome. The outcome is not the short-term outcome is not the deciding factor about whether the advice given is the correct advice. Is it in Krishna's interest? because of what's being presented here. There's a certain amount of happiness and unhappiness or sorrow that's going to come in our lives. It's not because I did this, now I got some sorrow, oh, it was the wrong advice. The person wasn't the right person. I've misplaced my faith, improperly placed my faith. So our standards are Guru Sadhu Shastra. You know, what is it, the indication of Krishna? There's also some subjectivity, some evaluation of the individual, and are they in relation to me and in relation to others consistently thinking of the welfare of others? Like, I just... very soon we're going to be having a... I'm pointing towards Texas. We're having a meeting in Texas with the North American Temple Presidents and GBC. And there are some issues that we're addressing where the interests... When a devotee is going to move from Temple X to Temple Y, we're thinking we should have some policy that says these things should be followed. Where the interest of Temple X, supposing they're a pujari in Temple X, if they just up and leave without proper arrangements, then it's offensive to the deities. So should we have a policy? But then supposing the pujari in Temple X, like Jai Jagannath's question, you know, it's really, for some reason, an unsuitable arrangement, for whatever the reason. And should we just force that person to stay in Temple X? Because if they leave Temple X, then there's going to be a hole in the pujari program. So the interests of the individual and the interests of the organization, just in terms of policy. So aside from, you know, a particular person's advice, you know, should I stay in this situation or should I leave the situation? Or should I try to improve the situation? What should I do? The faith is to see the persons who I'm receiving advice from, they can think broadly. They can think not only the institution or only me, they can think of Krishna and Krishna's interest. And I see that consistently there's this balance in there and how they're conducting themselves. And that takes purity, and it takes experience, and it takes wisdom, and it takes the kind of quality that's needed to have reposed faith in someone, that here's an individual who I can take guidance from. It's not, the criterion is, I see that they're a perfect person. That bar is too high. But take guidance from, I'm still taking responsibility because they're my decisions. Like, you know, Priyavrata made the decision. Like Arjuna was given the opportunity by Krishna. Now you've heard, you decide. We take responsibility for our decisions. But where do I repose my faith? Where should I hear from? Here's someone that's consistently. They're very balanced. They're very broad. They're very wise. They're not simply speaking from partiality. And if they have partiality, they'll make a disclaimer or maybe excuse themselves or recuse themselves from offering advice, because I'm partial here. I can't be impartial. I better not give you some advice, because my impartial is way over on this side. And here's why. So, and somebody that can conduct themselves in that way, that's a person, they're worthy of reposing your faith. They think long-term of the interest of, you know, the big picture. And that means Krishna's interest. Their statements are consistent with the scripture. So there's some responsibility on my part before I just repose faith that I evaluate. That the problem is I've got my own agenda. So how do I evaluate when I've got my own agenda? I've got filters that says, you know, this is worthy of faith and over there is because they don't say like I say. I only where people say what I say. Supports my position. But still, there's some discrimination has to be there. And that's what your question is. Not only in dealing with me, but in dealing with their advice giving to others or their guidance of others. That they're, as far as my experience goes, they're viewing the bigger picture. Not just the individual or the institution or a need that has to be fulfilled, but, you know, the bigger picture. And they're very faithful followers of our founder Acharya. Okay, I'll end there. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.